Practical sanctification is where we stumble and we fall. We succumb to temptation. We mess up. We're not perfect. That's our practical sanctification. It is the daily outworking of the Holy Ghost in our lives to sanctify us step by step, day by day, more and more.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we are continuing the message entitled, Your Scriptures and Your Sanctification. This is chapter 2 on the series called Comfort for the Suffering. To tell us more about the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
As we come to the second message in our brand new series out of 1 Peter, we're going to talk about something so important. What Peter says about the Bible and your sanctification. You know, in a world that increasingly mocks the Word of God, every Christian needs to be settled with their confidence in Scripture. Peter will help us do just that. We're also going to look at what the Apostle said about our sanctification. We're in the world, but we're not of it. The Holy Spirit is daily calling us out of the world's corruption into the kingdom's way of thinking and doing. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share part 2 of the message, Your Scriptures and Your Sanctification, from our series, Comfort for the Suffering. We must often call on the Father for help. Amen? Peter is stressing a life dependent on the Father's help. I love the verse in Hebrews that says, Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain two things very important, mercy, and find grace to help us in the time of need. How many of you could use a little mercy tonight? All right? And how about some grace? Now, mercy is when God forgives and God cuts you slack and God helps you and God picks you up again and God dusts you off again and He's long-suffering with you. He's merciful. Grace is God empowering you to do what you ought. Freedom is not the ability to do what you want. It's the power to do what you ought. I'm going to say it again. Freedom is not the ability to do what you want. That's what we think growing up. Once I'm out of this house at 18, I'm going to go do what I want. But that's not freedom. Freedom is the power to do what you ought. Power to do what you ought. And so how do you get the power to do what you ought to do? You get it from going to the Father and saying, Lord, I need some mercy. I need some grace, and I'm coming boldly to your throne. I'm not coming in as a beggar. I'm not coming in with tuck head. You know what tuck head is? You're staring at the ground, and you won't even look at somebody in the eye. No, we come boldly to the throne of grace. We say, Heavenly Father, I'm your child, and I'm in a battle, and I need help. I need mercy, and I need grace. If I'm going to live a holy life, I need your empowering to help me. And God says, you got it. I'll give you mercy, and I'll give you grace. Amen. Thank God we serve a Heavenly Father who is approachable and who receives our cries for strength and for help. Now, Peter also mentions having a healthy fear of God. Let me talk about fear of God for a moment. I've heard people say, you know, I don't think that I could ever be a Christian because I don't want to walk around terrified of God. That's not what the fear of God means. The Bible does not teach us to be terrified of God. It doesn't teach us to be tormented in our fear of Him. Fear of God is talking about the reverential, respectful fear of God. It means I respect Him. And I also know that if I go off into the flesh or into the world, my Heavenly Father has a shed out back. If you've ever been in there one or two good times, the Bible says God doesn't judge or condemn His children, but He chastens His children. He convicts of sin. He's not the author of condemnation, but he is the author of conviction. If we deny the conviction and we go off on our own, God has a way of taking us out back to that shed. And God, who we reverentially respect, can make you remember the shed. Amen? Because it is not a pleasant experience. But it says, he chastens us for our own good, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So there's that word again. So he chastens us. He convicts us. He chastens us. He knows how to turn the screw. He knows how to tighten the vise. He knows how to get our attention. We say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I will not go there again. Yes, sir, I will not go there again. He says, Peter says, part of your sanctification is having a healthy fear of God. Now, why? Because without partiality, he judges according to each one's work, Peter says. Now, God judges people by two things, what you do and what you say, primarily. He has no favorites, Peter says, without partiality, from presidents to paupers, God judges each person by their works, primarily by what you do and what you say. So as Christians, we should do and say as those who are aware of being watched and heard by the living God. Amen? Because God is watching and God is weighing every one of our thoughts, words, actions, and attitudes. I'm very aware that God is very aware of me. Are you? I'm very aware that God is very aware of me. He knows every move I make. He knows every word I say before I say it. He knows every thought that I'm thinking. See, Santa Claus stole from God. He knows what you've been thinking. He knows if you've been bad or good. He's a myth. But the real God knows if you've been bad or good. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you said. He knows where you've been, knows where you're going. He knows your every step. It says he knows your step before you take it. David said he knows when I sit down and he knows when I get up. He understands my thoughts from far away. That's God. And so when you're aware of that, then you're aware that every one of my thoughts, there's only four areas I can mess up. My thoughts, my words, my actions, my attitudes. He's weighing each of them. And if I get out of line, God in his love will come and chasten me so that I get back in line and I partake of his holiness. I partake of his holiness. Amen? Verses 18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed. Everybody say knowing. Do you know this? You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. Peter says in verse 19, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now here Peter is telling us the only currency that will save your soul is the blood of Jesus Christ. God cannot be bought. Amen. Salvation is not for sale, but all false religions will tell you that it is. All false religions teach that salvation must be purchased or earned by your works. But Christianity is not about your works, it's about his work. Christianity is not do, do, do. Christianity is done, done, done. Christianity is all about what he did because I couldn't do it. Christianity is all about Jesus dying in my stead, rising from the dead so that I could also rise from the dead. It's all about Jesus living out the Ten Commandments perfectly because I could not do it. It's all about me giving him my sin and he gives me his righteousness. It's all about Jesus, Jesus, and more Jesus. It's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. And that's Christianity. Christianity is not me, it's him and what he's done for me. And I put my faith in what he's done. And when I put my faith in what he's done, his shed blood shed for me, and that blood washes away all my sin as if it never happened, then it was none of me and all of him, and I can get no credit, and he gets all the credit. That's why we're going to cast our crowns at his feet when we get to glory, because we're going to know, I could never have done it. He saved me. I was lost. I was hellbound, except for Jesus Christ and the grace of God. By grace you are saved through faith, and not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, only the blood of Jesus, offered at the bar of God, can purchase my redemption. Hebrews says, I love this, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves. In other words, the Old Testament and all those sacrifices are gone now. He died once for all. He says, with his own blood, not of goats, not of calves, he, Jesus, entered the most holy place once for all, and secured our redemption forever. And he did it with his blood. Muhammad won't save you. You won't save you. Some other philosophy won't save you. Your own good works won't save you. There's nothing you can do to save you. Nothing will do it. Buddha won't save you. Hugging a tree won't save you. Being a good person and never getting a traffic ticket won't save you. The only thing that'll save you is the blood of Jesus running down that old rugged cross. That's the only thing that will save you. It's the only thing. I thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Aren't you so thankful for the blood of the Lamb? Aren't you so thankful that you can wake up in the morning and not be condemned, not feel guilty? You're light as a feather because your sin has been forgiven, and that heavy backpack of guilt you are carrying around has dropped off of you, and you're a redeemed, blood-bought, spirit-filled, heaven-bound child of God. Come on, everybody. Now Peter gets heavy. Verse 20, look at this. He, Jesus, indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, here again, we encounter a truth that challenges our limited minds. Think with me a moment. Peter is telling us that God was not at all surprised by the fall of man. Follow me, church. It was foreknown. Remember I tell you the two things God never says? What are they? Oops, because he never makes a mistake, or will I'll be, because he's never surprised. Okay? Now watch this. The fall of man was foreknown in the councils of eternity. I don't understand that. But I believe it because the Holy Word of God is telling me. If God acted in creation, he would eventually have to act in redemption. And he acted in creation. Now here's the heavy part. So before God stooped down to fashion Adam out of clay, before he flung the stars into space, before he said, let there be light, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit conceived the plan to redeem fallen man. In some council in eternity of eternities, before there was any world at all, God the Son said to God the Father, I will go. Everybody say, pretzel brain. But that's what happened. And you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Don't tell me the Bible is a book for simpletons. So Jesus was foreordained. The cross was foreordained. Shedding his blood, rising from the dead, living a sinless life, being born of the Virgin Mary, coming into our world, invading planet Earth, a fallen renegade planet, lost, desperately lost. It was all foreordained that Jesus would come. And so once the plan of salvation was complete, God created the worlds. Verse 21, who through him believe in God. That is, through him we believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now, did you know it's through Jesus' death and resurrection we believe in the God of the Bible? Without Jesus' death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit would never have come. And if the Holy Spirit had never come, we would never have believed, because the Holy Ghost convicted us of sin. Holy Ghost came into our death chamber and convicted us of sin. And do you know what? As Lazarus came walking out of that tomb, who had been dead 4 days, and Jesus spoke into that tomb and called him out, as a dead man got up and came walking out, you were that dead spiritually. And Jesus called you out and raised you from the dead. You were dead in your sins, but God made you alive in Jesus Christ, Ephesians says. God raised him from the dead so that our faith would rest in him alone. Now notice, we don't have faith in faith, but our faith is in the God who sent his only son to die in our place and then raised him from the dead. Peter says in verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now here Peter directs our attention to the role of the Holy Spirit in our sanctification. Our souls are purified, how? By obeying the truth. How do we obey the truth? Through the power the Holy Spirit provides. Amen? That's the difference between a religion and Christianity. Religion is you got to do it. Christianity is I'm giving you the Holy Ghost so that you can do it. Amen? Now, there are two types of sanctification, and I want us to understand this, positional and practical. Positional sanctification has to do with your standing before God in Christ. Our standing is perfect because the blood of the Lamb secures it for us. So positionally, I want you to picture yourself this way. When God looks at you, what does God see? Does he see all your flaws? Does he see all of your shortcomings? Does he see all those cracks in your character? Does he see that? When God looks at you, what does he see? He sees Jesus. He sees the blood. He sees a sinless, perfect person. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made, say it with me, the righteousness, say it with me, the righteousness of God in Christ. So we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. So when God looks at us positionally, our stand before him positionally is, I'm clean as the driven snow because of the blood of the Lamb. That's positional. Thank God for positional, because now we come to practical. Practical sanctification has to do with our daily walk, which is often imperfect. Anybody in here live perfectly this week so far? How many of you had to repent so far this week? The rest of you, you need to repent now. You're lying in church. We all had to repent this. You thought something, said something, did something, copped an attitude, something, where you need to say, Lord, forgive me. If you're walking with him at all, you need to ask for forgiveness on something. But now watch this. Practical sanctification is where we stumble and we fall. We succumb to temptation. We mess up. We're not perfect. That's our practical sanctification. It is the daily outworking of the Holy Ghost in our lives to sanctify us step by step, day by day, more and more. How many of you can honestly say, I know that I'm walking better with Jesus today than I was a year ago? Okay? That's the work of sanctification. That's the Holy Ghost sanctifying you. It's practical sanctification. By the Spirit's power, we daily step more and more in line with our positional sanctification. But listen, I'm always thinking, thank God for positional, because practical, I mess up all the time. Thank God for my positional standing. But every day, it's the work of the Holy Ghost. Paul said, faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. And what is the it? He will sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians. So God is sanctifying you and me bodily, pulling us out of sinful activities bodily. In our soul, in our thinking, he's pulling us away from the sin of the world. In our spirit, he's pulling us away from the sin of the world. He's sanctifying us. So that when you go to do something that maybe 5 years ago you didn't even have any qualms about, but now the Holy Ghost says, nope, don't do it. Don't go there. Walk with me. Walk with me. Come away from them. come apart from them and be ye holy, for I am holy. So that check in your heart, that pulling away from the things of this world, that's the sanctifying ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. The Spirit of God convicts us of a sin. We turn to Jesus for forgiveness, according to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And with that forgiveness comes fresh commitment to God's will. You know how good you feel when you know God's forgiven you? You say, wow, Lord, I commit more than ever now to walk more cleanly in that area than I did before. Through this ongoing process, we grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. Peter notes that as we grow in sanctification, we also grow in love for the brethren. Say with me, pure hearts, love best. The more purely we walk before God, the better we will love other people. That's why our world right now, that culture out there, I don't know if you've realized it or not, but there ain't a whole lot of love. Is there? There's a lot of hatred. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of contempt. There's a lot of abuse. There's not much love. Where do you find love? God is love. And he that loves knows God. So Peter said, the cleaner you walk, the better you're going to be able to love the brethren. And he said, fervently, which means intently and intentionally, I really do love my brethren. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Peter used the words born again, which we should never lose the wonder of. Amen. I don't want you folks to ever lose the wonder. The phrase born again has been cheapened in our day. But let's never lose the wonder of it, because by a literal miracle of God, we have received a brand new divine nature. The greatest miracle that can ever happen to a human being has happened to most everybody in this room. You have been born from above. We have become members of the royal family in heaven. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We have become joint heirs with Christ. We rank higher than the angels. Born again. Thank God. Can we say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm born again? Hallelujah. And how did it happen? Through the incorruptible seed of God's word. Having been born again, not by corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible word of God. Think about it. I thought of this today. The fall of man was brought about by a failure to believe the word of God, wasn't it? Eve originally said, I don't believe the word of God. Satan caused her to doubt it. He said, has God said? And she quit believing the word of God. If you eat that tree, Satan said to her, you won't die. God's not told you the truth, Eve. And she believed it. So she didn't believe the word of God. But now, isn't it funny how conversely, it's when we now believe the word of God, we're born again. So as we lost salvation by not believing the word of God, we get it back by believing the word of God. Chapter 1 closes with a word about the word of God. Because all flesh is like grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. So the impermanence of our world, illustrated by flesh, grass, and flowers, which all come and go, is held up against the imperishable word of God. No book has been more attacked, vilified, scorned, and targeted for destruction than the Bible in your hand. Yet it stands today as the number one bestseller in the entire world. It is this eternal word, says Peter, that was preached to you through the gospel.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111, or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. Coming up on Life Talk.
To those who receive Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. This is the separation by belief. When you receive Him, He separates you from this world and the sin of this world by belief in Him.
That's next in a brand new message we're calling Your Separation, in this series entitled Comfort for the Suffering. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you here again on Life Talk Radio. Until then, God bless.